What's up, Chicago? That's right. It is Monday, September the 12th, 2016. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have an exciting show for you today. Today, Missional Monday, the topic of conversation. This should be fun, man. Why people like Starbucks more than your church? Why people like Starbucks more than your church? Hey, it's a question, and we're going to try to answer it on today. But look here, let me give you the rundown on what's going on. That's, as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio. And let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are listening already, meaning you've already called in and you got us up on the line, you're already listening, just push one, you can be a part of the show. If you are watching or listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can find us there. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Real easy to do. Tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. We'd love to read your tweet on the air. If you want to watch the live stream of the show, we got two options for you to do that. If you want to watch the live stream of the show, you can simply go to ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Again, that's ustream.tv, and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. If you're on Facebook, our Facebook Live is up. Is it up? Yeah, there we go. What's up, y'all? Already in there. I see you. What's going on? Facebook Live is up and running. Simply go to Facebook.com, either go to my personal page or go to Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You'll see me. That's the dude right here, me with the white polo. That would be me. Hey, y'all, what's going on? I see y'all. Come on in. Come on in. Everybody just get on in. As they say in church, press on. Come on. Press on. There's room for everybody. So y'all come on in here. But again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to email the show, easy to do. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Thank you so much. We would love to have that. Definitely love to have that coming. High sound coming from speakers. Okay. A little error just popped up. Let me know what's going on if the sound is weird. So again, if you want to email the show, we'd love to read that email on the air. And last but not least, iTunes. If you have iTunes, go to your iTunes account, go to the podcast section, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. And, yeah, we'd love to have you be a part of that as well. So look here, y'all. Great, man. I am really, really excited about today. Let me say a big thank you to my Kingdom Baptist Church family on yesterday and for the opportunity I had to minister to them on yesterday, preaching on the spirit of unity in the church, man, it was a good time. I am always overly critical of my own self. And anytime I go forth, I'm always critical of that. But man, all I can say is I am grateful for the opportunity. And anytime I get the opportunity, and man, I hadn't realized I hadn't preached since April, so it felt like I had all this pent up, all this stuff. Can I talk like a preacher? I felt like I had all this impregnated word just sitting on the inside that I was finally able to unleash on yesterday. So it blessed me to be able to share that. And I'm grateful as always to be able to share it. Real quick, let me see here. Good morning, Brother Dana. Thank you for prayer yesterday. Thank you. Oh, no welcome. No need to thank me, Isis. No need to thank me. When a brother or sister asks to pray, our job is to pray when they ask us to. So no need to thank me. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to pray for you. So But man, it was all right, man. It was all right, man. Service was all right yesterday, and man, it was really good, man. So look, if you I can't tell you if you missed it because we didn't record it, so I can't tell you that. One day we're gonna get it together. I'm going to figure out a way. I'm just waiting on somebody to get back to me. One day I'm gonna figure out a way to get that our Sunday morning services and share them through the TTLO media, through the TTLO media exchange. So that's definitely something we want to do. But again, it was a wonderful time on yesterday. I thank everybody who was able to come out. Big shout out to my god brother and his wife who were able to make it out yesterday, Aaron and Renee. Thank y'all so much for coming out. It was good. So man, moving right along. So yesterday, okay, so let's talk about it, y'all. Yesterday was the start of the NFL football season. I don't know about y'all, but you know, I almost like kind of forgot for a hot second that football started on yesterday. I'm serious. I almost forgot for a hot minute that it started yesterday, but I was able to catch a lot of the highlights. So much stuff was going on yesterday. I really didn't get a chance to sit down in front of a television and actually enjoy any of the games on yesterday as much as I would have preferred to. But I actually was able to catch quite a few of the highlights and a little bit of the last game that was on yesterday, which was good. I will definitely catch the Monday night football game tonight. But, man, let me go ahead on the record and say to all my Chicago Bear fans, let me go on and break the news to you right now. Can I speak in the prophetic? Can I speak in the prophetic for a hot minute to my Chicago Bear fans? Y'all ready? Here it is. 6-10. Be ready. 6 wins, 10 losses. Be ready. I'm just going to put that out there just like that. That's going to be it right there. 6 wins and 10 losses. I want that on the record. Y'all see what time it is. It was 12:08 Central Time when I said it. You can come back to this day and say that, well, now if I come back right, do that mean, Tanya, where you at? If I come back right, let me get you. Where you at? Are you available? If I'm right about this thing, about the Bears being 6-10 this season, I want to know, can I then change my title to prophet? Does that then elevate me to prophet? Is that possible? Come, let me get my producer in here. Miss Melton? Hello? you got to hit the mute button on your end because I turned. Okay.
I'm there.
Oh, you're there. Does that now qualify me as a prophet? Can you do some research for a brother?
That will not qualify you as a prophet. It would just stand here using your spiritual gifts.
The Bible says if a prophet prophesy and then the prophecy come true, he is a prophet. I believe that's what it says. It's in there somewhere.
But you have to show the gift so many times before you become the prophet.
Well, if you look at my last 4 years on predicting the Bears, I have been absolutely correct. So I think it's just me. Is it any preachers listening? Is Cornelius? Thank you so much, Madam Producer. I appreciate you. Could you come back in a little while with the food of the day? Thank you so much. I just want to know. So, is it any preachers listening right now? Let me see. Is my boy Cornelius Potts online? Is he out there somewhere? If you're on the line, push 1, bro. I can't tell with all these numbers up here. But if you push 1, your number will jump to the top. I just want to know, if I prophesy the Bears record, if I have been known to prophesy, y'all can check my Facebook memories and all that stuff. But if you go back, if I have correctly prophesied the Bears season every year for the last 4 years, I want to know, does that make me a prophet? Ain't nobody helping me. Come on, somebody. I just want to know. It's a real question. It's a real question. I just don't see it. I told y'all right now. Can I prophesy a little bit further? As long as Jay Cutler is the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Thou shalt not go to the playoffs. Can I say that again? Come on. Y'all put this on. Mark this down now. As long as one Jay Cutler. What's Jay short for? Is Jay short for something? J-A-Y, or is it just Jay? Jay, is it short for Jason or what? I don't know. I'm just saying, as long as Jay Cutler is the quarterback. Let me say that again. Let me talk to Ustream. Y'all, Ustream, how y'all doing, Ustream? As long as Jay Cutler is the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I'm looking at you, Facebook. I'm looking at you. And you, Ustream, over here. I hereby prophesy, thou shall not maketh the playoffs. Can we say that right there? Can we put that down in the book? Somebody write that down on today. I said it. I said it. I said it. I'm just putting it out there. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. I know I got some bad fans that's going to get offended, and you know. But don't get mad at me. Get mad at your quarterback. But anyway, get mad at your team. I just think he's bad for business. Yeah, he can throw the ball, but he's bad for business. So much. Anyway, so yeah, football season has started. Man, once again, I have to put this out there. If you have not watched Queen Sugar, I need y'all to watch Queen Sugar. Queen Sugar is a good show. Oprah has hit this thing out the ballpark with this show. If you have not watched it, Queen Sugar and Greenleaf, you really need to go back and watch Greenleaf, because Greenleaf is something we can talk about. The season is almost up. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give y'all till next week to talk about, to watch and catch up on Greenleaf, because I haven't really been talking about it on the show. But we're gonna put a good little stuff out there, and we're going to talk about some Greenleaf, because I think Greenleaf is hitting some points of some things that are happening in and around the church, and I think we just need to talk about it. Now, we ain't going to talk about it to the point where it denigrates the church, but people are watching it and like, does that stuff really happen in the church? We're going to talk about it. So y'all need to check Greenleaf, go to your cable on-demand service, hit that button, start at episode one, and go all the way through with us, because it's good stuff. But Queen Sugar is the most recent production on the OWN network. And, man, I'm telling y'all right now, that's good stuff. It's a very, 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 very good show. And I think you all would enjoy it. I think you all would enjoy it. It's some good stuff. So, look, man, look, hopefully everybody had a good weekend. Hopefully everyone had a safe weekend. Last week was the first week of school, and so much stuff is happening in our area and in our community, man. And it just, you know, it kind of got me, man. So I really didn't pay much attention to the news yesterday. Oh man, first of all, big shout out to the team, the bowling team, Just Having Fun. I got to give them a big shout out because they swept us on Saturday, and when I mean swept, we lost the last game by 185 pins. I mean, they beat the brakes off us. They beat the brakes off us. Hello, Felicia LaShawn. How are you? I see you on Facebook. Thank you for watching. How are you? They beat the brakes off us on Saturday. And I mean, when I tell you they beat the brakes off, I mean, we was down well beyond the brake pads. We was down to the rotors. That's how bad they whooped us on Saturday. I want y'all to know we... The abuse we took, especially game three. Game three was just horrible. I mean, they beat up. They whooped us like, okay, let me. Oh, my God. Yeah, It wasn't nothing nice. Let me just put it this way. They was Ike, and we was Tina. That's all I'm going to say. That's how they did us on Saturday. It wasn't no good. It wasn't no good at all. But I wanted to talk about, real quick, I wanted to mention this real quick. So on Saturday, was that Queen Sugar better than Greenleaf? I was shocked. Good television. It is. I'm gonna need you to keep watching, cause see, I'm gonna need some people. I'm gonna need some of my faithful listeners to be prepared. This just came to me. It's a good idea. I ain't even running past nobody. Tanya, don't kill me. But I'm thinking this is a good idea. We're gonna have some segments where we're gonna talk about Queen Sugar and Greenleaf, right? And we talk about these two shows, and I'm going to need my listeners to call in and be available to call in for a few minutes. Don't worry about 4 or 5 minutes, you know, so take a break at work, do something. But, you know, call in for about 4 or 5 minutes, you know, so we can talk about the show, the episode from the previous week. So, but I'm going to need all y'all to catch up. I'm going to need all of y'all to catch up on your green leaf and all that before we start talking about that. And then I'm going to give people enough time to catch up on Queen Sugar, okay? Two good shows. Two good shows. So anyway, real quick, we have to discuss this, man. Over the last weekend, we had four people were killed and 16 wounded in city shootings. And one of the ones that really messed me up as I was reading, a young lady, they had a vigil. They were having a vigil. I believe it was on Saturday. Let me make sure I get this right. Let me find it. They were having a vigil and for someone else who had been shot. And a young lady who was at the vigil, someone came and shot up the vigil. So somebody died. Somebody died. And then they're having a outside vigil, you know, where they light the candles and the teddy bears and the balloons and all that. And apparently because there were family members out there or whatever happened, they decided to shoot at the vigil. And in the process, a 17-year-old was shot, a 17-year-old girl who was at the vigil, praying and paying respects for the person who was shot and killed. She now was shot at a vigil. Now, you know, it's one thing to I'm literally at a loss, man. I mean, this is you know, getting out of control. So I started following this news website called Every Block. It's called Chicago Every Block. It's actually everyblock.com, but then you can click on whatever you want. So it's Chicago, and they have all these listings, and they pretty much keep updates as stuff goes. 16 people wounded in shootings, 4 dead. It's just, and you know, and right over here in our own Austin community, let me grab that one because that's the one that hits home the most. Around 8:20 p.m. on Saturday, a 17-year-old boy was shot in the leg in South Austin. 3 males approached him and fired shots as he walked in the 5500 block of West Ohio. He was taken in good condition to Mount Sinai Hospital. At 8:05 p.m., a 21-year-old man was shot in the Holman Square neighborhood. That would be what we call East Garfield Park, I believe. The Holman Square neighborhood. He was in the 3400 block of West Harrison when someone shot him in the abdomen and forearm. He went to Stroger Hospital in serious condition. 3400 block of West Harrison. Y'all do know that the police department is right there on Harrison. Right. Here's another one. At 6:50 p.m., a 19-year-old man was shot in the 1900 block of West Garfield. He was riding his bike in an alley. I mean, this is just insane. And then in the Lawndale community at 6 p.m. also on Saturday, an 18-year-old man was shot. He was on the sidewalk in the 4,000 block of West 21st Place as someone came out of an alley, fired shot, striking the man in the right foot. He went to St. Anthony Hospital, and his condition was stabilized. Wow. What are we going to do, Chicago? And as I say this, I don't know if y'all can hear it in the background, but as I say this, the ambulance is going past the church right now as I say this. As I say this, the ambulance is going past the church right now. Now the ambulance in the background has become a part of this show just as much as anything else. That is, and when I say that, I don't say it to be funny. I say it because, in all seriousness, that ambulance in the background has become as much a part of this show as any of the co-hosts that are on this show. Let me put it that way. The ambulance is dedicated to this show. Now, I ain't being funny about my co-hosts. I love my co-hosts, but I'm saying that ambulance shows up every episode. Every episode. Yeah, every episode. Every episode. So it's disheartening, man. It really is. It really is disheartening, and I don't even know. I just want to put it out there. We're going to continue to do the work. Shout out real quick to Jody and the STV crew, to Lewis out there with the One for God crew. But it's almost like we need to triple in numbers to have some kind of real impact. But we're not going to stop, man. We're going to stay out there. We'll be out there again on Wednesday. We're going to be out there again on Wednesday, man. We're going to do what we do. We're going to do what we do. So let's move on. So real quick. Okay. All right. So let me ask this question to my listeners. Where we at? Can we put a poll up? Is it possible to do a poll? How can we do a poll? Is the poll on Facebook or is it on no, the poll is actually on the poll is on the Blog Talk chat. I cannot open up the Blog Talk chat. Tanya, you got to open up the Blog Talk chat. I can't deal with the Blog Talk chat too. Let me see if I can start a poll. Because here's my deal. iPhones and Androids, right? iPhones and Android. I have been team Android for years. I have always been team Android. Anybody knows me know I am not Apple friendly. I am not Apple product friendly. Although if they would like to be a sponsor of the show, you know, I would love. I mean, y'all don't tell my man over there at Apple what I said. Because if they would like to sponsor the show, you know, I'm not saying that we couldn't get. Let me be for real. They could sponsor the show. We can get y'all. See, those of you watching on Ustream and YouTube, y'all see these two monitors up here. I would not have a problem with switching to Mac computers if they chose to provide them for the show. That's wonderful. But I am not ever going to be that iPhone type of dude. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, so I know a lot of y'all are my Team Droid people, all my Team Droid people. The Samsung phone, this recall thing is serious, huh? Y'all been paying attention to this thing? This Samsung recall thing is crazy. So they pulled the Samsung. They said it they're doing something called a global replacement. So it says Samsung released a new guidance for Galaxy 7 Note users on turn off the phone and bring it in for replacement right away. I don't know if you knew this or not, but if anybody has Samsung, let me say it right, Samsung is telling all of its customers, those who have the Galaxy Note 7, to turn off your phone and immediately take it back the way you bought it for a replacement. Mind you, there are no replacements available. But this is what they're saying. They're saying if you have it, take it back immediately. Turn it off and take it back. And then the FAA has now said, do not bring your Samsung phone and charge it up on an airplane or sit it on the seat, because if your phone decides to overheat and explode on the airplane, well, we know how that's going to turn out. So they don't even want you to bring the Samsung phone on the airplane. That's how dangerous it is. That's how dangerous it is. So I mean, I mean, what happened? I'm not sure. What actually happened, but it says there's a risk that the Note 7 can catch fire while charging due to problems with the battery. It says the issue is only believed to affect 0.1% of all the devices, but you know how it works. All it takes is a few, and they'll do a complete recall. It says in the U.S., the Consumer Product Safety Commission urged users to power down their phones and said it would be providing guidance man. And this comes on the heels as Apple unveiled its new iPhone 7. The new iPhone 7 came out. Now, do I have any Apple? I got some iPhone users. Anybody iPhone users? I know I got a few. I know a few of y'all, you know, but, you know, we're going to pray for y'all. iPhone users, my people watching on Ustream, iPhone users, let me know what's up. I'm just curious. Nothing like an iPhone. Oh, really? Really? You team iPhone, huh? Hold on. I missed all these comments, Lewis. Hold up, start. Where you get that point? Hey. Okay, sorry about that, y'all. Listen on the radio side. Had some technical difficulties, but we back. Yes, we back. Okay, I was trying to read the Facebook comments because I'm up here talking about the iPhone. Yeah, I saw that. I did. Yeah, I saw that. I'm up here talking about the iPhone, and let's see. Hold on. It says, hold up. Let me see here. Hold up, stop. I'm not going to read. Where you get that polo shirt? I need that one. Team iPhone. Felicia, you team iPhone too? Now, Felicia. Felicia. Really? Yes, I do. Anonymous 2172, you team iPhone too? Come on, man. Where the droid people stand up? For real. But dude trying to find out, man, tell me where you got that shirt. Can't help you on that one. Nothing like an iPhone. iPhone is the best. You better tell him. Who is this? Okay, Lewis, is this you on your chat or somebody else on your chat? This dude tried. I wonder where I got my polo. I can't tell you where I got this one at. I can't share that information because I need to get the rest of them first. And then after I get all the ones that I like that's got this style, then I'll share the information. I really can't put that out there right now. How do you think I get the podcast? Oh, really? That's what you're trying to say? You can't get it unless you on iPhone? Okay. All right. Okay, Felicia. All right. I ain't going to, you know. What's the line from Friday? Bye, Felicia. Oh, God. I'm just saying. You rocking the polo and don't have an iPhone. Right. I'm rocking the polo. That's what I do. Fresh polos all day long, every day. I'm rocking a polo shirt, but I do not have an iPhone. This is the HTC 10, the best phone on the market today. Let me put that out there again. Is HTC sponsoring us? Okay, I can't say their name no more. But this here phone right here is the best phone on the market today. This is the phone right here. I don't do team iPhone nothing. Yeah. But as I said before, if the wonderful people at Apple would love to be a part of the Taking the Limits Off Radio team, you know, I could put a nice Apple. What's the little Apple signal? The bitten Apple. We can put an Apple right under this banner here that y'all watching, that y'all see. I wouldn't mind having an Apple sitting right there. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's. Okay, I'm just saying. Horrible phone. No, it's not, man. No, it's not. Y'all gonna get up off my phone. Can I move on? I'm done with the phone conversation. You know what? First of all, I'm a little upset. Team Joy didn't stand up. Where's Team Android? Because, you know, y'all just left me out here hanging with all these iPhone devils. Where are my Team Joy saints at? Come on, somebody. I know I got a few Team Joy saints out here. Come on, stand up and recognize. Don't let the devil, see, y'all iPhone people, y'all letting the devil use you. Don't let the devil use you like that. iPhone is for the rich and sophisticated. Say what? Did you say iPhone is for the rich? That's what I just got insulted. She said, for the rich and sophisticated. This is utter foolishness. Y'all didn't you didn't go to church yesterday, did you, Felicia? You need to go to church. I need you to go to church and lay yourself and your phone on the altar. Don't put your iPhone on the altar because lightning might strike. Y'all ain't finna double. You know what? It's okay. Let me say this real quick though. My droid people, I know y'all listening, and y'all just sitting back chilling, ain't saying nothing. I'm gonna need y'all to either jump on this chat box on Facebook and get these people up off me, because I'm trying to maintain my religion from these iPhone devils that's trying to come around and do some stuff. I don't need no iPhone watch. I don't need that watch. What I need that watch for? I don't need an iPhone watch. This is all the watch I need right here. Y'all is killing me right now, an iPhone watch. What I want an iPhone watch for? What do I need that for? That's another gadget for me to have. I'm good. She gonna tell me iPhone is for the rich and sophisticated. Really though, really. That's what we on, for the rich and sophisticated. Ain't that about nothing, Felicia? Let me ask you a question. You at work right now, right? Huh? Answer that question real quick for me, then I'm gonna leave you alone. You at work right now, right? Huh? Come on, you, come on, answer the question real quick. You at work right now, right? Come on, tell somebody, tell the truth, shame the devil. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Mm-hmm, come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. You know you're at work right now. I know you are. I know you're at work. I just want you to go on tell everybody else, though. Tell the people that you at work right now, rich and sophisticated. Ain't that about something? You know what I tell you about these folks? They did it. No. Lewis, I'm done with you, man. I'm done with you. I asked the question was, are you at work right now? That was the question. Felicia, are you at work? Don't act like you can't hit me. Everybody else hit me. They're probably sick of me talking about it. Don't ask. Are you at work? That's a real question. That's a real question. I just want to know, are you at work right now? You at work. Exactly. Okay. See? So you got an iPhone. You know why you got an iPhone? Because you got to work to pay. You got to go to work to pay for that iPhone. See, those of us who are retired, you want to say rich and sophisticated, the HTC 10 is for those well off, not needing to go to work. Let's say, come on, can the church say amen? Come on. Come on. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Ain't nobody got to go to work but y'all that's got to go to work. Ain't nobody got to go to work but y'all that's at work. I'm at work right now. What y'all at? Uh-huh. Okay. All right. The company pays for it. You know what? And the company pays for mine too. DLK Ministries pays for this phone right here. I'm done. Let me move on. Serious conversation. I'm done with the phone. Y'all stop talking about that dang on phone. Stop talking about the phone. Let it go. And Lewis, get over the polo shirt. I ain't giving you no information. None at all. At least not yet. Ask me after Friday. And then I might give you some information. But after Friday, because I got to go back and get something else. Okay, real quick, y'all. Real quick. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. So, you know, they had Sunday, we celebrated, it was the 15th anniversary on Sunday. I'm shifting gears. Sunday was the 15th anniversary of 9/11, of the 9/11 tragedy that hit New York, D.C., Pennsylvania. New York, D.C., and Pennsylvania, those three areas. That was, so it was the 15-year anniversary of that. So they had memorials all over the place. The reason I'm talking about it is because at the New York memorial on yesterday, Hillary Clinton was there. And apparently, you know, there's been this whole conspiracy theory about her health not being the greatest. Donald Trump had started talking about it, saying that her health wasn't necessarily the greatest and some other stuff like that. Because she's, I don't know if you saw, there's been a few clips. She's had this really bad cough for the last like month or so. She's been having this really bad cough. She goes and has these coughing spells. Yeah, okay. Security. That's what I'm going to need. Security. Security. Y'all, security on Facebook. I need y'all security. I ain't worried about security because I keep security with me. But we all good. anyway, she was at this 9/11 event, and apparently she collapsed and had to be helped into the vehicle. So there's a video that's floating around. It was on CNN. It was on some other places. She's walking to the car, and she almost pretty much, she was standing there waiting, and you can see in the video she's being held up by one of the Secret Service people. And then when the truck opens the door for her to get in, she literally tries to take a step and cannot walk. So they literally have to carry her into the truck. And then a few hours later, the truck did not go to the hospital. They took her to Chelsea's house up the street because her daughter still lives out there. And then she was on TV. They showed her on camera a few minutes later, a couple hours later, you know, she was fine. And they first released a statement saying she was dehydrated and something else. And then now it says she has pneumonia. So there is some concern about Senator Clinton that her health might not be the best. And so it's something we need to keep in mind. We need to keep in mind. If you just chimed in, you just chimed in. I saw some of y'all just jumping in. People are jumping in and out on Facebook. When you come in on Facebook, you know, say hi to the people. Say hi. Don't be rude. Say hi when you walk. You know, it's polite when you walk into a room and you're the one coming in. It's polite that you speak, you know, make your presence known. That's just me. Like my people over here on Ustream, Anonymous 2172. How you doing? I mean, you know, you did respond to my question. I don't know who my other anonymous viewer is over here. Let me see what your number is. Oh my God. Anonymous 7061. You got a whole bunch of numbers in front of your name. I don't know who you are. But you know, when you walk in and when you come into a room, it's polite to just say hello to the other people that are watching. You know, it's just polite to do so. WC Rice, what's going on, sir? That's one of my favorite deacons in the whole wide world. WC. Did you get my order for my sweet potato pie? I need about five of them. Three for me. Let's move on. All right. Hey, the man makes a mean sweet potato pie. I'm going to tell you like that. Y'all eat the patty pie all you want to. But if you want a real sweet potato pie, let me tell y'all something right now. You know, WC, when he going to get his restaurant, he going to be one of the main sponsors for the show. But I'm going to need him to go on and get that restaurant because we can put Willie Charles Kitchen up here on the back panel behind us here, sponsored by Willie Charles Kitchen. Now, if you're going to handle your business, man, you could be a main sponsor for the show. And, you know, we can get you some customers in here and you could be shipping them Willie Charles pies. People won't be buying patty pies. They'll be buying Willie Charles pies because Willie Charles pies is everything. If you ain't never had you a Willie Charles sweet potato pie, if you live in the city of Chicago or you in the Chicagoland area, send me a message. I will get you a sample. You know, maybe we're going to have a Willie. Can you make a couple of pies for the show? And we're going to have a Willie Charles pie tasting ceremony. We'll get y'all come out and sample some pies here at the studio. I know it's Monday, and y'all say this boy just done lost his mind. okay. See, now, somebody just text me. See, and I normally don't look at my phone, right? But I'm finna put you on blast right now. Because I don't, whoever this is, I don't have your number saved in my phone. But I'm gonna read the last four digits 2300. 2300. I don't know why your number ain't saved in my phone, but I think I believe I know who this is. But the text message, because see they wouldn't come on and say nothing. Gonna say to me, let me read this. People, what number is this? Oh my God. Okay, all right. People who don't want to change are still using Android. Ain't that about something? People who don't want to change are still using Android. You know what I'm saying? And you know what iPhone users are? Let me say this in the most Christian way possible. You know what iPhone users are? People who change just for the sake of change. You really didn't get nothing better, but you just wanted to change just because. Now sit on that. Walk with that. Put that in your Bible and read it. Let me get on. I'm done. I need to take a break because I lost my mind over here. It ain't praise break. I'm acting like it's praise break Friday, but it's all right. Hey, you know what? I ain't got nothing to be mad about. Everything is good, and God is awesome. We're going to take a quick break, right? We're going to come right back. I'm going to give y'all a little bit of this ABK. So amazing. Man, God is good. ETLO.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
Big concert coming up. He has a big concert coming up. Maybe we'll have him back in, and we'll see about that. I'll let my producer figure that one out. Maybe we'll have him back in right before his album release and get him back in here again and see what's going on. You know, I'm willing to help the people. That's what we do around here. Anyway, y'all, so I tried to take a break, you know, and I just happened to read across. I'm still reading these comments because some of y'all on Facebook is real special. I'm just going to say this again. Y'all real special. When I was talking about the sweet potato pies, and this is directed toward my producer. It says, I'm not taking you seriously because I asked if I could be a live studio guest and your producer never got back to me. That's what the Facebook commenter said. Now, let me real quick. Take up for the producer. My producer did get back to you because I know exactly who you are, and you tried to come in. It was like the last minute, and we had not planned for that. Don't come at my people. Let me leave that. Make that real quick. Now, don't come at my people. I know exactly who you are. Do not come at the people. Okay. Yes, but we are going to set up a time where real talk, we are going to set up a time where we will have some live in-studio guests. Some of our most faithful listeners, we'll set up a time, we'll send you guys an email, and we'll set up a time where you guys can come in and be a part of a live recording of the show, right? We'll be a part of a live recording of the show. We will do that. We will definitely do that so you can be a part of the show, okay? All right. So, look, y'all, we do have this great great article we want to talk about, and it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. Let me go ahead and share it real quick with the people on Facebook Live. The article is simply entitled, Why People Like Starbucks More Than Church. That's the title of the article, y'all. Why People Like Starbucks More Than Church. And I know somebody probably listening right now saying, what is he about to say about this? I am just going to read the article. Don't get mad at me. Let me say this. I'm going to talk about this for a hot minute. So yesterday, I preached, and the theme was unity. I was told, you know, if when you preach, could you bring us a word on unity? That's what my pastor asked me to do. And I was obedient, and that's what I did. So in the process of doing that, man, it was interesting, some of the comments and remarks I got from people after yesterday's sermon. But I'll say this. I don't preach the gospel for people to say amen. I don't preach for people to clap. I don't preach for people to jump up, preach for people to shout. That's not why I do it. That's not why I do it. I don't look for the approval of men. I preach because that's what God has called me and commanded me to do. And in the process of listening to that call and that command, sometimes what you are given to preach is going to step on some people's toes. But this is the one thing that I've learned about stepping on people's toes. There's never been a time I preached where I stepped on somebody's toes where I didn't step on mine in the process of writing it. Can I say that again? So your toes may have been stepped on, but trust me, I stepped on my own when I was typing it on my computer, and I stepped on my own when I said it in front of the people. He said this and he said that. Point out any part of anything I've ever preached about where it was not biblical and it was not the truth. And I'll leave it at that. Point out any place where I have preached something and it was not biblical, and it was not the truth. I do believe that you should be able to preach sermons to uplift people, but at the same time you uplift people, sometimes you need to preach for correction. You need to preach for correction and preach for clarity's sake. If we're gonna cry about unity and we're gonna cry about accountability and we're gonna do all this, then you need to know how to get there. You need to know first, understand why you're not there, and then recognize how you get there. So, I'm gonna leave it at that. But I'll tell you this: read Ephesians 4. That's what you do, y'all. Just get you some Ephesians 4. And stay in that thing and read it for yourself. Stay in that thing and read it for yourself. All right. So we do have this great article. Let me grab it real quick again. It's why people like Starbucks more than church. Why people like Starbucks more than church. Did I put the article up on Facebook for y'all? Yes, it is. It's there. Okay, good to go. We good to go. So let's jump into it, man. Let's jump into it. It simply says this. It's on churchleaders.com first. I'm sorry about that. It's on churchleaders.com. I did share the article on Facebook Live for those of you watching. I did just share it again on Ustream for those of you watching over there. Man, thank God for y'all on Ustream. Let me say that again. Big shout out to y'all on Ustream for always chiming in. Don't know who you are, but I appreciate you watching. Really do. I really do. Thank you so much. Let's keep going. Why people like Starbucks more than church? The writer says this. Did you know that Starbucks has provided clean water to Africa, organized local service projects, and even helped celebrate Christmas? The writer says, for the next 5 minutes, let's set aside the recent Red Cup controversy and learn from an organization that engages many of the same causes as your church. Let's read that again. Make sure you got that. He says, let's set aside some of the other stuff that's going on, and let's learn from an organization that engages many of the same causes as your church. The writer says this. When Howard Schultz returned as CEO of Starbucks in 2008, he found a company that had outgrown its success. Rapid expansion with a desire to reach the masses led to a company devoid of its soul. Reflecting on this, Schultz wrote the following. Success is not sustainable if it's defined by how big you become. Oh, my God. He says, large numbers that once captivated me, but he says, are not what matter. The only number that matters is one. One cup. One cup, one customer. One partner. One experience at a time. We had to get back to what mattered most. We had to get back to what mattered most. Can we talk about that from the church side of it? we got to get out of this focus on numbers of people. Because if you focused on the people you had, if you made sure you were making real disciples in the church, then you wouldn't have to worry about what was going on the outside, because disciples know that their job is to go out and make disciples. Disciples know that. They know that. They know that's in the job description. When you take on the title of disciple, the requirement of the job is that you make disciples. One of the job duties listed, the responsibilities of the position, is that you go and make disciples after you yourself have been discipled. But see, we kind of want it in the reverse in the church. We want to get all the churching, and then we want folks just to show up and get all the churching too. We want folks just to show up and get all the churching as well. We just want them to miraculously just walk into the doors. The writer says this. What does this have to do with your church? He says, it's easier than ever for church leaders to become consumed by growth. He says the rise of the mega church, social media comparison, and fastest growing churches list makes it feel like growth is the goal. He says, worst, it's easy to disguise our obsession with bigger and mission mindedness. He says, where'd I go? Like, I just lost the whole page. He says, after all, getting bigger means more people meeting Jesus and growing spiritually. Right? He says, is it possible that our passion for reaching people, reaching more people, actually gets in the way of our ability to make a difference in their lives? Can I say this? What's the point of having 1,000 people show up in your church if you're not really having an impact or making a difference in their lives? If I could sit down with a room full of people, and again, I'm not knocking John Hanna, so please don't take it that way. I'm not knocking John Hanna. But people are flocking to John Hanna's church. And I would be curious to ask people who have been under his ministry for the last year and a half, those who are been there for a year versus those who've been there for 2 months. I would love to ask the one question. What impact has being a member of this church had on your life? How is your life different than it was before you were a member of the church? And the reason why I would want to ask that question is because you should be able to give me definitive changes in your life for being a member of a said organization. Let's be real, though, that's all that's promoted from the leaders after the services on Sunday. Via Facebook. You're right. Yeah. So the question is, seriously, and this is a real question, and this is not even for mega churches. I'll ask this question to you all listening right now. And I often say this. I was having a conversation with my pastor. And I've said this before. You guys know this. He is resigning as pastor of our church, effective October 31st of this year. He's resigning as pastor. So I was having a brief conversation with him on yesterday, and it was funny. It's nothing private so I can share it, because I don't want y'all talking crazy. But you know, he says a lot of people are asking him, you know why he's leaving and all that, and the question. You know, are people speculating and making up reasons as to why he's leaving? And I said this, some of the very people who are spreading rumors as to why you're leaving, the question I would go back and ask them is, why are you staying? I would ask the question, why are you staying? Because the real question is, what about your life is different by being a member of whatever church you go to? Since you've been a member of said church, what has transpired in your life? Has your relationship with God improved as being a member of that church? Has your relationship with family members improved? Has your relationship with friends improved? Have you learned to forgive people more being a member of that church? Are you treating people differently because you're a member of that church? These are real questions. So I would ask that question to anybody listening right now. Because you are a member of whatever church you go to or whatever religious organization you are involved in, how has it changed you? How has it benefited you? And then how are you, watch this now, benefiting the church? How are you adding to the church? I ain't talking about the check you write. So we ain't finna talk about that. I ain't talking about the check you write. I'm talking about how you have added to the church. It's a real question, man. That's a real question. Let's keep going. Chime in anytime, man. Those of you watching on Facebook, I'll read your comments as I get back to them. But just chime in. Those of you listening on the phone line, you got a question, comment. If you're already listening via the phone, just push 1. I'll get your little message. I'll get your signal, and I'll have you on air. You can come with your question, your comment, or whatever it is you want to talk about our current subject. Let's keep going. The writer says this. There is a big difference between getting 1,000 people in your church and spiritually leading 1,000 individuals. Wow. Let me read it again. There is a big difference between getting 1,000 people in your church and spiritually leading 1,000 individuals. Now, let me stop for a minute. That number 1,000 can be 50. There is a difference between getting 50 people in your church and leading 50 people spiritually. Let's read what the writer says. Here's what Schultz had to say about leading large crowds. He says, a store manager's job is not to see or not to oversee millions of customer transactions a week, but one transaction millions of times a week. Wow. Wow. Oh, my God. Don't miss that. Can we go back? This is so good. He says, here's what Schultz had to say. He says, a store manager's job is not to oversee millions of customer transactions a week, but one transaction millions of times a week. He says, as your church experiences larger crowds around Christmas and New Year's, are your leaders prepared to handle more experience of one? Wow. Okay. Okay. I don't want to confuse nobody. Here's what it's saying. Is every customer getting the same experience when they walk in the door? This sounds like this came a little bit right out of my sermon yesterday, because I said this yesterday. Are we only friendly to people when we have a special event? Do your customers come in your church and are they only treated the best because it's your pastor's anniversary? Are they only given the best of what you have? Are they given your best singing because it's the choir's anniversary? We got greeters at the door on Family and Friends Day. Where y'all at the next week? Where are you at the following week? See, how you get customers and how you keep customers is two different things. How you get customers and how you keep customers are two different things. It's real easy to put on a program to draw people into your church. It's real easy to do. It's easy to do. You put something out. You say, we're doing this, we're doing that. We have so-and-so preaching. We got a special guest person singing, and your church will get packed out. The question is, from that experience, what do you do, or what do you continue to do to keep people coming back? Can I give a word? Can I use one word? Consistency. Consistency. If you consistently have people greeting people at the door, if you consistently have ushers giving people a program and not having people looking for a program, if you consistently have ushers walk people to their seats, if you consistently show people kindness, if you consistently get people in and out of service at a decent time, Come on, somebody. If you consistently do these things, then people are drawn to consistency. People are drawn to consistency. So if you do these little bitty things, if you are meticulous, let me use that word, meticulous, if you are meticulous about making sure that your church is cleaned and presentable, people will remember that when they come. People will remember when they went to your bathroom and it was clean and it smelled like a bathroom and not like a gym room. Huh? Don't get mad at me. Get mad at your bathroom. I'm simply saying, if you are meticulous about the way, can I talk about it? Let me use my mama for example. She probably listening. I'm gonna get myself in trouble, but she probably listening. But my mom is meticulous when it comes to serving dinner. My mom doesn't care if it's just me, or it's me and 20 other people. She is going to serve the dinner the same way every time. When I go to my mom's house to eat, I understand. I told my mom many a day, you could just put that stuff on because it's like, it's just me. But my mom will put out real dishes, real knives, real forks. Now, I get it. If people don't want to wash dishes, hey, trust me, do what you got to do. I ain't hating. So please don't think I'm hating on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you about the experience. If you go to my mother's house to eat, every time you go there, this is the way you're going to be treated. I don't care if she ain't serving nothing but hamburgers and French fries. This is how you're going to be served every time. And you're going to get there and you're going to ask the following question. Why did you cook so much food? You say, Dana, what does it have to do with anything? I'll tell you what it is. This is the culture that she has created. This is the atmosphere that she has set when you go to her house. What this means is you are going to get the same treatment as though you were. She, let me put it to you this way. She going to treat you like she treat me. Huh? She going to treat you like she treats me. Because she is one of those people who says, I am going to give you my best every time, even when I don't feel like it. Watch out now. Even when I don't feel like it, even when it's not a special occasion. No, it's not Christmas. No, it's not Thanksgiving, but the table will be set. You will eat on a tablecloth. You will eat with a real napkin. You will eat with it. This is what she does. So what if our churches took that same attitude? What if we said, I know it's not anniversary Sunday. I know it's not family and friends day Sunday. But you know what? The best that we're capable of doing, we're going to give it to you. Not because we think you deserve it, watch this, but because God deserves it and because he's always watching. My. I preach to myself. Amen. Ain't nobody got to say it. Ain't nobody, in the words of Reverend Hulam, ain't nobody mad but the devil. Oh, God. Let's keep going, y'all. Let's keep going. The writer says this. Number one, he says, ensure that personal connections aren't overtaken by systems. Ensure that personal connections aren't overtaken by systems. The writer says this, as you grow, it is natural to begin using systems to keep track of people. But those systems cannot replace personal connections. Build a volunteer team focused on following up with phone calls. Let me read this again. This is going to sound real familiar, y'all. Build a volunteer team on following up with phone calls. Ask ushers to take ownership of people who sit in their section. What? In church? Let me read this again. I'm reading the article, y'all. Don't get mad at me. Read the article. It says, ask ushers to take ownership of the people who sit in their sections. Can I keep reading? Then the writer says, create a clear space in the building where any question can be answered. In essence, look for every opportunity to personally connect with each one. Wow. Wow. Look at, okay, so let, I mean, this is not rocket science either. Can we just talk about it? This is not rocket science. This is not rocket science at all. This is what happens in places that have order. Look at the one thing it said. Build a volunteer team focused on following up with phone calls. That means when visitors come in and they put their phone number on that little visitor sheet or they put their email on that sheet, you immediately should be contacting them. Okay, so they came to your church on Sunday. You don't bother them Sunday night. You don't bother them Monday night. But Tuesday, they ought to get a phone call or an email from you. Or a phone call or email from you. And the email says this. Hey, we were so glad to see you, and we were so glad you came to worship with us on Sunday. We just wanted you to know that we have midweek Bible study every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We would love to have an opportunity to come out, and you can sit down, and you can learn more about the Word of God with us. It's an open forum Bible study where you can ask questions and give feedback. If you did that with people, now they weren't just a number. Now they weren't just somebody you embarrassed by asking them, can all of our visitors please stand? Everybody don't want to stand. I told y'all, I'm still on the fence about that. I'm on the fence about asking people to stand. I am. I'm on the fence about it. I know we do it, and I'm kind of, a lot of churches do it. I'm kind of on the fence about it. Because some people are very introverted, and they don't like to be called out. So you have to keep that in mind. I know it's only for a few seconds. I know. But, you know, it's just one of the things in my image. It's a me thing. That's a me thing. So, but, yeah. But then, so, yeah, do the follow-up phone calls or the follow-up emails. And then watch this. Now, ask ushers to take ownership of people who sit in their sections. Your job as an usher is to take care of the people that you see sitting in front of you. It ain't to be looking around. It ain't to be looking like you don't, like you really don't care. It's not for you just to be sitting there taking up a seat. It ain't so you can get the nice little black and white uniform or blue and white uniform or whatever color the uniforms are. That ain't your function. That ain't your function. It is to take care of the people in your section. Man. And then last part of this one says, create a clear space in the building where any question can be answered. Create a clear space where any question can be answered. That means you need to always have somebody somewhere who can answer some questions. Always. Always. Amen. This is good, y'all. We're talking about the conversation today. Why people like Starbucks more than your church? Why people like Starbucks more than your church? Man, feel free to chime in with your questions and your comments. Again, the phone number for the show, area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546. I just gave y'all a number on Ustream just in case y'all didn't have it. There's the number for you. And here's the number for y'all on Facebook Live. If you need to call in with your question and your comment, come on in here. Come on in the room. Those of you already listening via your phone, just push 1 with your question and your comment. You ain't got to say your name. I know some of y'all don't want people to know who you are. It's okay. But you can call. I know you got questions. I know you got comments. You can make your question and your comment. Don't be scared. Ain't nobody going to be mad but the devil. Let me go ahead and get that. I'm about to get her to record that, come in the studio and record that line. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. I just wanted to say it so we can use it as part of. I think it would be wonderful. Tanya, work on that. Work on that. Please, work on that. Thank you. Let's keep going. The writer says this. Oh, my goodness. He says, number two, train staff and volunteers on how to think. Train staff and volunteers on how to think. He says, not what to do and say. Oh, my goodness. Train staff and volunteers on how to think, not what to do and say. This is what he says. As a church team grows, managers try to standardize as much as possible. Staff and volunteers are taught specific steps to follow, phrases to say, and responses to situation. He says, I've even seen church leaders dictate an exact phrase for answering the phone. All of this is focused on creating a consistent experience. But then he says this, consistent experiences are the antithesis to personal experience. Everyone is treated the same. No one is treated as an individual. Instead of training people on what to do and say, behaviors, train them on how to think, values. If you get everyone valuing the right priorities, they'll create the best personal experience for each one. Can I give you an example? There are certain rules in the church, unwritten rules in the church. You know, the unwritten church rules. So one of the unwritten church rules, because they're not written down anywhere. They really aren't. But we just assume everybody knows the rules. In some churches, like here, I'll use my own church. At Kingdom Baptist Church, the unwritten rule for years, I don't know why, but for years was don't walk down the middle aisle. Nobody walks down the middle aisle. It's an unwritten rule. I don't know why. I don't know if the aisle is sacred. I don't know what it is. I don't know if Jesus walked down there first and then said it was holy ground and you can't walk down there. I don't know why it is, but it's always that way. Even as a kid, even when church was over, it was almost like people were afraid to stand or even walk in that middle aisle. Because that's where the choir, you know, the choir processional. Remember, the choirs used to march in back in the day. That's where they did. That's where the pastor would come in sometimes down the aisle. All the ushers walked up, and that's where all of that stuff took place. But you, as a member, were not supposed to walk back and forth up the aisle. That's a unwritten rule. Another unwritten rule: when scripture is being read, there is to be no talking or walking. When prayer is being prayed, there is to be no walking or talking. These are the unwritten rules of the church. Now, I understand, because it's a reverential thing. Reverence. It's you stopping for a moment to pause while the scripture is being read. It's no different than if you're at a baseball game or a sporting event and the national anthem is being played. Even if you don't put your hand over your heart or you don't say anything, what we do is we just stop talking for a minute. If you're wearing a baseball cap, you take it off. You just kind of stop where you are. You pause until they're done, and then you move on and walk quickly where you have to go. That all makes sense to folks in the church. We get that. Folks coming in on the outside do not know that. Now, because they do not know, and they have not been taught, what this means is, yes, we know the unwritten rule, but it means that when we go to approach them, because they're walking during the prayer or during the scripture reading, how we approach them is going to matter. Because, you know, old school ushers back in the day, you know, my mama was one of them old school ushers, you know, the ones with the white gloves and, you know, with the with the tight uniform on. You know, the usher uniform, and they got the big badge, that big gold badge that said first usher, second usher, usher captain, all, you know, it had all type of labels on it. But, you know, back in the day, if you got up and walked in the middle of a prayer or while the scripture was being read, you would get a white glove in your face real quick. Y'all know I ain't lying. You would catch a white glove so fast, I mean, it would make your head spin, because them ushers did not play. They would hit you. I mean, you talk about white glove service. I mean, you'd be walking, do, 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 right? I mean, you would get five quick fingers in your face saying, we're going to stop right here. We're going to stop right here till till the pastor is done. We're going to stop you right here. If you were talking during church service, if you were talking and you were keeping up just a little bit too much noise, you would get that white glove tapping you on your shoulder saying, excuse me, y'all doing a little bit too much talking. Excuse me, y'all need to step outside in the hallway. Or my mother's favorite line, excuse me, who are your parents? Where are your parents? But again, the approach to visitors has to be different. Because if the unchurched world does not know the written rules of the church, the unwritten rules of the church. So we have to be careful on how we approach people. You can't, well, just, excuse me, you can't be walking in. Now, wait a minute now. I got to go to the bathroom. And if I got to go to the bathroom, I ain't thinking about your unwritten rule. My bladder is telling me I got to go right now. So how are you going to handle that? You going to be the rude usher and say, stop walking? Please, let me tell y'all something right now. Don't grab people. It's not a good idea to put your hands on people. It really ain't. But I'm just saying, you cannot expect people unchurched to know all of these quote-unquote church rules. Most of them ain't biblical, no way. Don't get me started. But most of them ain't biblical, no way. Y'all know they ain't. And then so don't just teach your people the unwritten rules. Also teach them to think for themselves. So when that situation happens and someone is walking past, you can politely say, "Oh, excuse me, are you able to wait until the pastor is finished praying? Because we normally don't walk during the prayer." See how easy that was? See how nice that was? It wasn't condescending. It wasn't attacking. It was real simple. Excuse me. Are you able to wait until the preacher is done praying or the scripture is done being read? And they'll either say, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't know. It's okay. And then now you open a dialogue. It's okay. It's just something that we do here. And when they're done, you watch this. You walk them to the door to say, here you go. Bathroom is that way. And I'll be right here when you're ready to come back in. See how simple that is? See how simple that is? There was love behind it because I wasn't just correcting you just to be mean. I was correcting you out of love because you did not know. That's how we do things. That's how you grow your church. That's how you grow your church. What's this message? Men are not to wear hats inside a building, house, or et cetera. Right. But see that comes from home training. I was taught to take my hat off anytime I went inside anywhere. I was taught to take my hat off when I get in the restaurant. If I'm wearing one of my cool little hats or something, when I sit down at the table, that hat is coming off. When I wear a hat to church on Sunday sometime. When I get in the door, before I get in the building, good, unless I completely forgot, that hat is already off. You know, I see guys at restaurants now with baseball caps on, and it's like, you know, I look at it, I go, man, you don't even take your hat off to eat, huh? So, and for men, but, you know, that's another issue. That's another issue. Again, it's all in how you approach, because let me tell you this, and if you go to a five-star restaurant or four or five-star restaurant, they're going to ask you to remove your hat. They're going to ask you to remove your hat, and please don't be offended if they do. Let's keep going. Number three. Focus on mission-driven metrics, not mass-driven metrics. Uh-oh, this is the last one. He says this, in times of growth, it's easy to become enamored by large attendance numbers. Yet getting people to show up is hardly anyone's mission. Stay focused on the number that's evidence that stay focused on the numbers that evidence true life change. Baptisms, small groups, volunteering, and giving are among the vital signs to keep in front of your team every week. They ensure that each one is truly being led spiritually. Can we talk about that for a moment? Because I've seen this happen in churches. Because, see, we get fooled by the numbers. Vacation Bible school is a big thing that we do in our churches, especially in Baptist churches across this country. Vacation Bible school is a big thing. and it's an opportunity to get more children to show up at your church. Here is the problem. We'll get Vacation Bible School, and we'll have 25 kids to show up that we didn't know anything about because they come. Their parents send them out of curiosity or whatever happens. They're allowed to come, and they're out, so the parents send them in. We'll take that number and go, oh, wow, we need to do it again. And then you do it a second time, and then you wonder, well, what happened to the kids from the first time? What did you do in between the two to keep contact with the children that showed up? Family and Friends Day. Here is the deal. You cannot look at Family and Friends Day as a measuring stick for garnering new people into your church. Let me tell you why. Most of us from Family and Friends Day, the people that we invite are members of other churches. Can we just tell the truth and shame the devil? Most of the people we invite to our churches on Family and Friends, they are members of other churches. And they come to yours because they then intend for you to repay the favor. And when they have theirs, you turn around and go to theirs. So then let's focus on those who are not members of a church. I would be so curious as to do this. You know how we have these contests at our churches? A lot of churches have, you know, who can bring the most members, blah, 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 blah. I would say, how many of y'all can bring people to church that aren't members of a church? How many of y'all can bring folks to church that are not an active member of a church? Now we're talking. Because, see, when you bring those people, those are the people you really need to focus on. Those are the phone numbers and email addresses and Facebook profiles you need to get. I think on your membership, on your visitor card, on your visitor's card, you need to have a section on your visitor's card where they sign in. Do you have a Facebook account? Yes. What's your Facebook profile name? Can we follow you on Facebook? Can we get you to like our church on Facebook? I'm just trying to tell y'all. There are ways to do things and get people's attention and then keep their attention by connecting with them on a spiritual level. Here's the last part of this. The writer says this. Leading a crowd spiritually is certainly a challenge. After all, there are plenty of shortcuts to communicate with people more efficiently. But if you truly desire to connect with each person and lead them closer to Jesus, start looking for ways to do so one at a time. Start looking for ways to do so one at a time. That's good, man. That was a good article, man. The writer is Ryan Stigall. Ryan Stigall is the writer. That is a good article. That's good. And let me explain to you why. So many churches are looking for, especially churches who have an older crowd, they're looking for ways. Let me get these emails too. I'm gonna get to these emails. So many people are looking for ways to get younger people to come back to their church. And one of the things they do is that they host these young adult events. And a lot of times the goal is to get you to bring someone who was either part of the church before or to go out and grab someone who is not a part of a church. And you get them to come out. Great. Here is the issue. Where is the follow-up? Where is the follow-up? Did you get their names? Did you get their phone numbers? Was there a team in place to follow up with these people a week or two after the event? Hey, you came out. You had a great time. We saw you. You laughed. You ate with us. We're going to be doing this other thing coming up, and we would love to have you come out and be a part of it. Did you do that? Or was it just a scheme to see how many people you could get to show up, or was it for something else? Did you do that? Did you do that? Oh, my goodness. Let me read these emails, y'all. Hold on. This is good. We got an email. Hold on. Let me get this email. Let me make sure I got all of them. I missed a bunch of them. Okay, 12. Let me start from the bottom. This first email. Okay. Oh, wow. I missed this. How did we miss this email? How did we miss this 1243 email? It says, I saw the clip of Hillary stumbling. We can all go under the weather sometimes. I'm hoping that she will overcome her illness and pull through feeling better, because we do not need to see that fool Trump in office. Ooh, pray for me. Maybe he can catch something and sit down. That's good. That's good. And she said, I'm with the pies. Amen. 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 Time for some oxtails, too. Let me move on. the second email. This is my other mom, Priscilla, y'all. The email says, great article. I like some of the comments in the read regarding section of the church and what can be done to accomplish during that time. And then she said, please bring back your mama's usher uniform and their protocol of being a correct usher. Amen. And Priscilla, no. She no. She no. Because let me tell y'all something. We used to have some ushers on the dough. Priscilla, Auntie McCurdy. Priscilla, Willie T. Willie T. Bird. And Jesse L. Noblin and my mama Cheryl King. Let me tell y'all something right now. We had some ushers back in the day. These was, and yes, they wore them tight blue usher uniform. They, you know, because the uniform was a little tight. But they had two uniforms. They had that white uniform and that blue uniform. Those were the usher uniform, and you had to be in uniform. You had to be. You had to be. It is something to, and again, as I said yesterday, unity and uniformity are two different things. But when it comes to things like that, I do believe we should all be in lockstep together. I do believe there should be, and guess what? And the church should pay for it. Can I say that again? Can I say that again? If you want people to be in uniform, buy the uniform. I'm serious about that. I think if you want your choir to be in choir robes, you know what the cost is. The church should eat a minimal of the cost. That's just me. Now, I know it ain't going to go over well with a bunch of folk, especially those that's got trustees in front of their name. But I'm going to say this again. If you want your choir to be in uniform, if a robe costs $150 for a robe, the church ought to spend $100. Come on, somebody. Let me just tell it like it is. The church ought to pay for it. The church ought to pay for it, because you got folks walking around with choir robes who don't even sing in the choir, and they got robes. What you going to do with it? What you going to do? You going to take it to another church? What you going to do with it? Well, I know you bought it. It's yours. I ain't saying that. I'm just simply saying if you want people in uniform, pay for it. Let's go, y'all. We got to get off the air. Thank you so much for the email. Mom, appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all, too, listening, too, man. Father God, we thank you so much, God. We thank you for the time we've had today. God, we thank you for the word that you allowed me to bring on yesterday. God, we thank you for every listening ear. God, we thank you for every watching eye. God, we thank you for every phone call, for every listener, for every person in the chat room, God, for every person on Ustream, for every person on Facebook Live, God. We just thank you for them. God, we ask that you would continue to bless them and keep your arms of protection around them. If there's anyone around them who is sick, God, we stand right now in the gap for them. For those who have family members who are hurting, we ask a prayer for them. God, for anyone who may be going through anything, God, we just ask that you would protect them and keep them. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all, look. So, look, I've got to tell y'all. So, you know, I preached yesterday, right? So I got that going. So, look, I'm getting ready, y'all, because, you know, our brother get to do his second wedding on Saturday. So big shout out to the soon-to-be Morris family, as I like to call her now. She's no longer. Her name is Gabrielle Goss. But I no longer call her Gabrielle. I now call her my God baby mama. That's her new name now. Yeah, that's the new name I have for her. So a shout out to Gabrielle and Alvin. Spent some time with them yesterday after church. Had a good time with them on yesterday. Getting ready for the big day, the big countdown. The big countdown is coming. So anyway, y'all stay blessed. Shout out to my godson, too. He is bad. Let me say that real quick. That little boy is bad. And y'all can go tell his mama I said it. I don't care. He's bad. He's bad. He's bad. All right. We got to go, y'all. Y'all stay blessed. And look, we'll be back on Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO. Peace.